It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk with David Singer. David Singer, great musician and filmmaker here in town. He was he did the original score for August Osage County and Steppenwolf. And he is going to be back at Steppenwolf with his band, Sweet Science. And we'll talk to him also about his movie, which he came in here, if you remember, he came in here last summer. And he talked about shooting the movie. So he's just about to release it. So we'll talk with David. And then, of course, Fred Wesley from the James Brown Band, JB's, will be here in studio after that. He's headlining the Chicago Blues Festival. All right, my guest now. Well, tomorrow the Printers Row Lit Fest takes place in the Printers Row neighborhood of Chicago. By now, you should probably have heard that because there's been a lot of people on our show, Rokon show, all the shows. Because, I mean, it's great. It's a great event, and we really like to be a part of it. One event that's a must-see tomorrow morning is at the Hotel Blake at 10 a.m. It's called How to Represent the Contemporary War Experience. And it features none other than Kim Barker. Barker's the author of the wildly successful The Taliban Shuffle, which was turned into the movie Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, starring Tina Fey. Barker worked here at the Chicago Tribune, covering both Afghanistan and Pakistan for during her five-year stint abroad. She was actually with the paper for about 8 years. She now works at the New York Times as the Metro reporter, and she's my guest and here on The Download. Kim, nice to meet you. Thanks for being
nice
here.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks for being here. So how often do you get back to Chicago? Is it exciting to come back to Chicago at all?
Yeah, no, I love Chicago. It's such a wonderful city. And I love like the lakefront and being able to go ride my bike without fear of being run over by cars that much.
Right.
Unlike New York, where I was run over by a car.
You were?
Yeah, it wasn't that serious, though. I mean, I'm still here.
Yikes. Yeah. Oh, man, I almost detoured the whole interview.
I know. You're like, wait a second. Do you need trauma counseling?
No, I want to hear this.
I'm fine.
That's like one of my biggest fears.
Hey, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, so you're going to be here talking about how to represent the contemporary war experience. Is this one of those things where the Lit Fest and the Tribune approach you for this kind of panel? Or is this something that you've been sharing this story ever since the book was so popular in the movie?
Well, I've been sharing the story, and then, you know, obviously I have a pretty close relationship with the Tribune and the Tribune Company since they're the ones that sent me over there and, you know, gave me my paycheck and everything, and they've been really supportive with the book. So I came here for Printers Row a few years ago when the book first came out, and then this year I think they just felt like it was, you know, a good time to bring me back, and I think they were really hoping that they could get Tina Fey. But that didn't work.
Like
out.
Kim, we'd love to have you.
I'm now like the B-list Tina Fey. No, I am. I'm serious. It's like I always have to say, I know you thought you were going to get Tina Fey, but it's just me. And if you want somebody who was played by Tina Fey, it's pretty much me or Sarah Palin.
That's it.
That's it.
Well, here in Chicago, we have a different relationship with Tina Fey because she was at Second City. So just so you know. We would rather talk with you.
Oh, really?
We love Tina, but we'd rather get your story. So let's talk about that. I mean, there's so many great themes that come out of the book and obviously are explored in the movie as well. But the themes of what I really enjoyed was the fact that it's a very complex region, obviously, when you talk about Afghanistan and Pakistan. But this book is really not just about all the politics and everything that's happening in the war on terror, but it's about you. And it's about sort of your relationship with that area. What compelled you to write a book about it?
Well, I was there from 2004 to 2009. And at a certain point, I think a bunch of us foreign correspondents sitting around in Afghanistan were just like, somebody needs to write a darkly comic book about what it's like being here because it's so absurd. Through an absurd lens is the only thing that makes sense of like all the mistakes that have been made in that region, mm-hmm. whether it's by, you know, America going in there, whether it's, you know, by you know, Pakistan, whether it's by, you know, journalists and aid workers who go in there. And, you know, if you don't have a sense of humor about it, you would probably, you know, end up crying. And then also, you know, the nightlife was just such a strange thing. I had not anticipated the fact that there would be these crazy parties like toga parties in Kabul, Afghanistan. That just made no sense to me whatsoever. And just the sort of level of decadence you had at the same time you were in a war zone. And of course, anybody who's been in a war zone understands that. But, you know, I'm naive and it was my first time over there. So I saw that as something that was interesting. You know, basically in 2009, the Tribune decided to sort of restructure how it had foreign correspondents. And I was one of the folks who was called back to Chicago. And I felt like I had a chance to write, you know, decide whether I was going to write that book I always talked about, that darkly comic mm-hmm. book, or, you know, come back to Chicago.
Or which shift into something else.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, basically, I felt like, well, let's take a chance. Let's write the funny book. And so that's what I did. I quit to write the funny book. And I was, you know, also just trying to find a way to make people read about Afghanistan and Pakistan. You know, I was really concerned about the directions of the countries. I was really upset with the directions of the countries. I wanted to find out a way that would make it accessible to everybody to read, mm-hmm. so that by the time they finished reading it, they would unwittingly learn, have a basic primer on the region and learn something, but that they would also find the story, you know, funny and sad and a little bit heartbreaking in places. So I'm very much like a foil for America, you know, naive, sort of a bit arrogant, a bit like not understanding the culture when I first go in there. You know, you've got Farouk, who is my translator, who's the foil for Afghanistan. You got Nawaz Sharif, now the prime minister of Pakistan, who's the, you know, foil for Pakistan, you know, and it goes on. And I didn't really think about it when I was writing it, like, this is kind of a memoir. I thought about it. This is the character of Kim Barker, the journalist. And I tried, so I included warts
really?
And all. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Do you still to this day think of it as less of a memoir and more that you just sort of created
a
caricature?
Character. Well, and it wasn't a caricature. It was a character. I mean, I feel like this, like anytime you're writing a long story, a long feature as a journalist, you have somebody who's called a water carrier, who carries the story through, who's
sure.
more of a microcosm, who is the eyes that lets you see the story as a reader. And so I am those eyes. So I felt like I had to divorce myself from the character of Kim a bit, because otherwise I wouldn't have included half the things I included in there, because they're embarrassing and they don't make me look smart sometimes. They make me look mean sometimes. They make me unlikable sometimes. And you know what makes you unlikable? Covering war. And you know what? Not every journalist knows what they're doing over there. But the thing with a lot of journalist memoirs is they're very, very serious.
Right.
And they're also like the smartest people in the room, because that's what you have with the benefit of hindsight. It's super easy to be the smartest person in the room when you're looking back. You know, I was not the smartest person.
Well, it also makes you relatable, because as you said, you know, a lot of the books that are written about war zones or about journalists in war are almost, you know, there is this sort of like really precious kind of experience around it. For you, it was relatable. And also, I feel like the best way to put it is it just for an area that we get news articles about, even when mm-hmm. you're writing for the Tribune, you're writing about, that's almost the appropriate way we're being told the story about war.
Right.
And to be able to get a novel or a memoir or whatever you want to call it, like an experience like the Taliban mm-hmm. shuffle, it's something that I think we're just not used to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and for me, I was trying to channel, I think there used to be more of a tradition of having dark comedy and war. You know, you had MASH, you had, you know, Catch 22, you had, you know, Dr. Strangelove, and you had, you know, novels by Kurt Vonnegut. And there used to be this sort of tradition that seemed to have kind of stopped. And I don't know if it has to do with the fact that the draft stopped.
Hmm.
But we used to all know somebody, whether it was in your family or whether it was your neighbor, who had been affected by war.
War
who had
was
served.
In everybody's lives.
War
yeah.
was in everybody's life. We had now pushed it off to the side. Only certain people fight our
right.
wars. And they are not the wealthy and they are not the elite. They are the people who are true believers, who are patriots, or they are people who are poor. And they want to find a way out of their poverty, a way to pay for school. You know, and all of these are perfectly respectable things to do. But like most people don't have to see war. They're the people who see the war for us, you
yeah.
know, and I kind of like it's funny because like after doing the book, anytime I meet like a Marine or a soldier, they're like, your book is the only thing that made sense of how messed up it was over there. So it's like I feel like I share something with them, and, you know, or aid workers or, you know, diplomats, anybody who was over there is like, oh, yeah, your book is the only thing that made sense of mm-hmm. like what I saw over there and all the sort of, you know, mess ups,
and the
snafus.
Let's,
let's just call them snafus. I keep wanting to swear and I realize I cannot swear. It's WGN. You know, I'm a journalist after all. But, you know, and then I would tell people back home, I'm writing a funny book, a darkly funny book about war. And they would say, there's nothing funny about war. And I'd say, you know, it's not like people have to
right.
live. And people use a sense of humor to be able to cope with really awful things. I mean, anybody who's been through any level of tragedy knows that. Or if you're a cop or, you know, a doctor.
Making that decision to write a funny book about war and then to have it quickly optioned to and quickly made into a movie starring Tina Fey. I mean, was there ever a point in the actual experience, the wild roller coaster ride that was, that you were like, I hope people don't really get mad at me for writing a funny book about war?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really think about it when I was doing it. I just knew it was something I had to get out, and the book poured out of me. I wrote it really quickly. you know, and then you're only afterwards, I thought to myself, there's a lot of me in this book and I'm not likable in places and people might not like me. And my mother was very concerned about it. My mother is from Chicago, by the way. And she says, you got to take all these things out. It's going to make you very unlikable and people aren't going to like my daughter. And so then I went through and I edited all those things out because it was before the book went to press. And my editor came back and said, you just surgically removed all the funny in this book and it's going back in. Wow. I said, okay, fine. You know, and you just sort of have to accept that in life, not everybody's going to like you. And in life, not everybody is going to think that what you think is funny. And that is fine. That is okay. And I'm kind of like, ever since then, I feel like I keep challenging myself more to take, you know, different sort of risks. Obviously, I took risks over in Afghanistan and Pakistan. But now it's just, you want to speak in front of 8,000 people? Sure. Scares the hell out of me. But why not?
Why not?
You want to throw out the first pitch at the White Sox game?
Which you
game?
Did last night. Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? I have no idea what I'm doing, but let's do it, you know? And then, you know, I'm so nervous before doing it. And people are saying, but you were in Afghanistan. I'm like, that's different. That was private. That was just me being scared of certain things. This is public humiliation.
You know, for all of what happened in the book and you know, and the getting there and not knowing what to expect, when you left in 2009, and you've talked about this, that you almost were addicted to that area, the region, to Pakistan, to Afghanistan. Talk about that, because that's something that we wouldn't necessarily think about people who cover war or are involved in war, that they would want to be in those places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. I had been based over there for 5 years, and I kept just wanting to stay until the story was over. How naive is that, you know? And I just really, fell in love with the people of Afghanistan, and I really felt like I wanted it to succeed. And watching it as it started to slip away was very difficult, and I wanted to be there to chronicle it. I felt like I owed it to this place that I had fallen in love with, you know. So the idea of leaving was just not in me. You know, I fought for like whatever remaining jobs there were in Tribune Company as hard as I possibly could. And then when I was told I was coming back, I just thought, okay, I'm going to quit. I'm going to freelance. I'm going to write this book out of Afghanistan, because that seems like a quiet place to write a book about Afghanistan and Pakistan. And that's what I did. I quit because I couldn't see leaving it, you know? And I planned to stay there. And even when I got this fellowship at the Council on Foreign Relations in New York, you know, a few months later, I thought, okay, I'm going to go do this fellowship and I'm going to live in New York, but I'm going to leave all my stuff in Afghanistan. And I am coming back after I write this book and after the fellowship. And that's what I planned to do. And it didn't go back. And I think it was through being back in New York and sort of seeing how jagged I had become and how difficult I was to be around. And, you know, I was the sort of person who would, I'd be at a bar with friends and I'd say, oh, $15 for a drink? Do you know what that could buy in Afghanistan? I mean, that's just not fun. You know, and people would be like, oh, don't bring Debbie Downer back.
Kim's here.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, reminding us about the people of Afghanistan and how lucky we are. You are very lucky out there, though, people.
Well, I mean, it's a great story, you know, for you being back and in journalism. Do you miss the idea of being able to chronicle the events in a book like this? I mean, this is a different kind of writing. It's a different kind of thing. To get back into journalism, we covered whether you missed the region. Do you miss the sort of buzz that came with writing the Taliban Shuffle?
I miss, I miss playing with so many words. It's amazing to have, you know, 100,000 words to play with, because my editors are always bothering me, you know, can you please write a 1,000 word story? And I turn on in, you know, I'm like, that's just throat clearing. I can't do anything in 1,000 words, you know. And like with what's happened in journalism and newspapers, it's, you got to get it done in 600 words. People do not have the time. And so I do miss like the idea of just saying, okay, let's make that more evocative. Let's make that paragraph funnier. Let's do something more with rhythm. You know, I miss that sort of just sitting around and playing with words, and you're doing it for yourself. You know, the act of writing a book is such a strange thing. You know, nobody's writing you every single day. I mean, yeah, theoretically you have an editor and a contract and stuff, but it's not like they've got a lot of other things to do. It's
and there's
on
a long
you.
Deadline, right?
Yeah, it's on you. And so, yeah, I would love to write another book. It's just hard to top a first book that's, you know, in which you're played by Tina Fey. Cause like, I'm like, no matter what I do next time, people are going to be like, not as good, not as interesting.
My favorite story of the reading all the stuff about the book and is the fact that Tina Fey saw the New York Times review of the book, in which the New York Times review mentions Tina Fey.
I know,
it says,
right?
It sounds like something Tina Fey would, or I forgot what it was, but...
It said I created a Tina Fey character. I'm like, man, I am a Tina Fey character.
And she's like,
that.
I like this. She should get, I like yeah. this. Yes, I'll try it out. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, because as she likes to say, she's a total egomaniac and Googles herself all the time. And so therefore, you know, read the review and within 2 weeks had read the book and pushed Lauren Michaels and Paramount to option it. And that's her joke. I would never make fun of Tina Fey.
The one thing that I know rubbed you the wrong way about the movie was that they changed it from a print journalist to a cable TV journalist.
I know.
Print journalists do not like TV reporters.
I like TV reporters. That's not true. Some of my best friends are TV reporters, and they have a different skill set. You know, my God, it's to have to go on TV like that live yeah. all the time. There's no way I could do it. Or act like you knew what was going on, or like you're adding new information. I couldn't do it. I would completely be like the Albert Brooks character, you know, just sweating through everything. It would never work out for me. So I think that they've got a different skill set, but I'm also pretty proud of, you know, print journalism and what we do. And the fact that, like, the industry is not exactly in the greatest place right now. I mean, witness Tronk, you know. And yet I still feel what we do and what the Tribune does is so important. And there's still, like, just amazing journalists here doing amazing journalism. So, yeah, of course I would have liked to have highlighted that a little bit more. But
right,
I get what they were doing, yeah. and I understand why they did it.
Kim Barker is the author of The Taliban Shuffle. She is going to be at the Printers Row Lit Fest tomorrow at the Hotel Blake at 10 a.m. She's on a panel called How to Represent the Contemporary War Experience. Colin McMahon's going to interview her. Thanks so much for being here, Kim. We appreciate it.
Yeah,
and,
thank you.
Good luck with everything.
Thanks a lot.